Hi, I'm Lindsay Grogene, and this is KRCU's Exposition. This is a show where we dive into the arts, music, and culture of Cape Girardeau and its surrounding areas. Whether you're familiar with the inner workings of a choir or not, you probably know the four main voice parts: soprano, alto, tenor, bass, but there are several lesser-known parts in between. One of those ranges, a male range, is called countertenor, and comfortably sits where many female voices sit. World-renowned vocalist Nathan Medley is a countertenor, and he'll be at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Jackson this weekend for a performance and to deliver a program which will look at original music from Shakespearean plays in Baroque, classical, romantic, and 20th century settings. I sat down with St. Paul music director Matt Polish, and we were joined by Medley via phone to talk about what his audience can expect on Sunday. For our listeners, first, explain what a countertenor is. They're a rarity in this day and age. Matt, you said that they're sort of an antiquated voice part.
Well, I don't mean to say that Nathan is antiquated. but I do think that, Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's not a timbre of voice that you hear very often anymore.
Sure. And it's hard to say if there was a time when it was, like, incredibly popular to begin with, more like a time and a place, right? So even if you were in colonial America, you may not have heard that many. But certainly there have been places where they've thrived throughout the years. Essentially, we go back to that the moment where we start writing music down, and the tenor part was the first part, right, coming from tenere, to sustain. And then they wanted more than one part, so they added a second, and that one was called the countertenor, because it moved counter to the tenor line. And eventually we got countertenor altus and countertenor bassus, which eventually became the alto part and the bass part. So a countertenor is essentially a male alto. It is the highest male voice part, and there are some countertenors that would call themselves sopranists as well, which sing extremely high. They are very popular in British choral tradition, but even the British choral tradition underwent some low periods prior to the middle of the 1800s. But the male countertenor, the alto, has been around for a long time, and there have been some really great ones in the time of Purcell and Handel. And so that we do a lot of Baroque music, and then with the upsurgence with Alfred Deller in the middle of the 20th century, 1950s, give or take, our voice type has resurged in popularity and as a solo instrument instead of just being in the cathedral.
The concert program says you'll trace nearly 450 years of the relationship between Shakespeare and music. Give us a preview of that program. Are you going to be lecturing in between songs? How are you going to be incorporating that?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people don't realize how many songs come out of the Shakespeare plays, and it's really a lot. And over the course of history, wherever these were done, so like, the Royal Theatres in London, when they were done, there was a whole new set of music written for these productions. And so every time that we have these massive undertakings of Shakespeare, a lot of times people are composing new music for each of these new productions. I currently have the program grouped by play and giving us an opportunity to compare and contrast some of these different settings throughout different periods. So, for instance, we have Thomas Arne has a nice setting of Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind. And we contrast that with Quilter's setting. So there we have 120, 30 years apart in the composition, but we have the same fundamental text. So we get to see if it's a literal representation of the text, if it's contextualized and would work within the play itself.
There are approximately 235 songs across 37 plays. So how did you go about selecting which ones you would be featuring in this program?
Good question. I think my fascination started when I read this great book that had done a lot of research on those original musical settings of Shakespeare's music. And so I got these little songlets. I mean, back in the day, you know, imagine something like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Stars is the same tune as A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And that's sort of the idea of a tune. I mean, back in the 1500s, a tune may have five or six different textual settings. And so Shakespeare was a master at using inference in his plays. And so he could take a tune that had a backstory already associated with it and sort of twist it into his play so that every single inference made slightly more impact. Looking for things that I can give to an audience to help them understand the play as much as anything else. And then just looking for some of those real gems of musical settings. I would say that there are a lot of really fantastic musical settings of Come Away Death, for whatever reason. Maybe it's a good subject matter to write music about. And then there are a lot of love texts that are really fantastic. I really like Full Fathom 5, which is another text that seems to be set consistently well across the ages. So seeking out the gems really helped guide me towards choosing the program.
And so some of these songs, some you've already mentioned, are some that I know just from my knowledge in choir. So they might be songs that people who have even a little bit of knowledge of choral settings and some just art songs might know already, and they kind of get to learn a couple of things about.
I think some people will find some of the tunes familiar, especially the Roger Quilter ones. Those get assigned quite frequently in colleges and universities and get heard in recitals with some frequency, as do the Finzi. A lot of times we don't tend to know those original settings. So I think for people who already know the famous setting, it may be interesting for them to hear for the first time what Shakespeare had in mind when it was in his play. And for those who want to hear even more adventurous settings, we have these two contemporary settings, one by Ivan Moody and one by Michael Tippett, both of the songs for Ariel, which is from The Tempest. Those two settings will be ones maybe people might have heard the Michael Tippett, but the Ivan Moody, to my knowledge, I'm the only one in the last 40 years who has taken the music up and started performing it again. It was premiered in London at Royal College of Music, and I think then it just sort of sat around for a long time, and my colleague wrote his dissertation on contemporary countertenor music, and so I went through his library and found everything that was Shakespeare-oriented, and this is still, you know, in Ivan Moody's handwriting, and so it's kind of exciting because it's something that's not recorded, and it's still a really great setting of these Songs for Ariel texts. So, yes, people will know some things, and I think those who do know some of these settings will find it interesting to compare and contrast them with earlier and more contemporary.
All right, and so I'm going to go ahead and hand over the mic to Matt over here, who's been patiently waiting through all of that. So tell me, what were some of your thoughts in getting Nathan to come and perform for us here locally?
This will be Nathan's second trip to Jackson. He was here previously with an early music ensemble entitled Echoing Air, and we just really, really enjoyed the music that they brought, and the audience was very enthusiastic. And I thought, as I was looking at this year, I thought, man, we really could use something, something especially early music, and something a little, you know, a little intriguing and different and so forth. And I reached out to Nathan and I said, hey, what does your schedule look like as far as the fall goes? And it all worked out. And so really thrilled that he's making a return visit to Missouri, and looking forward to Kirk coming along and accompanying him and so forth. So,
well, is there anything else that you all wanted to kind of highlight without giving too much away about the actual concert?
I'm really excited about being in that space again. I recall it being incredibly beautiful with really fantastic acoustics. And my recollection is that Matthew has really cultivated a beautiful musical home for the people of Jackson to go and experience some really great art. So I'm really excited to be there for that reason.
That was St. Paul Music Director Matt Polish and world-renowned countertenor Nathan Medley. Medley will be performing at the church and tracing nearly 450 years of the relationship between music and Shakespeare on Sunday, September 29th at 3 p.m. For KRCU, I'm Lindsay Grogene. To hear this interview again or to hear more episodes of our Arts and Culture podcast, Exposition, visit our website at krcu.org. Thanks for listening.